your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me Jean Ferris, and she's here because I'm doing a series on treatment, and Jean is, from my understanding anyway, one of the most amazing practitioners of Reiki, and part of it has been because of her background, her 20 years of being a physiotherapist. But I just want you to know that for those of you who have ever visited physiotherapists, there are physiotherapists and then there are gifted physiotherapists. And she and her twin, Hira, are both the gifted ones. They bring to this practice some very special, I don't know where they get it, but very special insight, understanding, and I mean understanding with the fingertips, and also a very deep spiritual foundation of knowing that what they're doing is not just physical. And I think that this is really important. One of the gifts that has happened to our community is that Jean has, well, she got introduced to Reiki many years ago, and thank goodness, and she brings all of this wisdom and experience to our Reiki community. And so, you know, sometimes I ask the people I'm interviewing for their Reiki story, and I think, Jean, I'm going to ask you about what your first Reiki experience was like, your first treatment. I mean, I think I can't wait. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you, Phyllis. it's really wonderful to be here in this setting and to be able to share and to reflect, and always an opportunity never to forget. Mm-hmm. Of course, I learned of Reiki in 1985 after my twin had, Hira Reed, had received her Reiki training in Washington, in Tacoma, Washington, with Helen Haberle, who was her Reiki master, and I, living in Honolulu at that time, had also wanted my training, and I invited Helen to come, and I set up her first Reiki class in Honolulu, and where she began her many years of teaching in Honolulu, Kauai, and later on the Big Island until her death. So I gathered together this Reiki class at the Honolulu School of Massage that existed at that time, and it was a wonderful setting. We had plenty of tables and very comfortable to put together this wonderful place of discovery of what this practice of Reiki was all about. So I remember in the Reiki class and Helen demonstrating, and it was time for us to begin to do the treatment of the abdomen. So having been a physical therapist and a clinician for 20 years, as a physical therapist and totally responsible for evaluating the person, totally responsible for coming up with a plan of treatment procedures, totally responsible for making sure that this was collaborative with everything that I totally knew, and pulling out all the academia and scientific data that I could to create a program that would help this person physically recover. And then totally responsible for motivating them to follow through with the treatment plan.
Right.
So a lot of responsibility of 20 years of practice. So I'm sitting here in the Reiki class with Helen, and she tells us, of course, Now you begin in the first hand placement and in the abdomen. And we've been initiated and we pair off, and I put my hands on this individual. And I start feeling, of course, the energy flowing through me. And I'm accustomed, even in physical therapy many years, of feeling heat move through me. So feeling warmth and heat wasn't an unknown feeling. But I knew that all of a sudden I was sitting in a dimension that I had not known before. Mm-hmm. There were similarities of it, and yet I was in a whole different place. I remember looking up and looking across the room at Helen, and my hands are placed in the first hand placement on this individual's abdomen. And I said to her, "Are you sure this is all I have to do?" And she smiled and said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." And I found my hand settling deeper into this individual's abdomen. I started feeling tingling through me. I started feeling vibration of enormity. And my hands were vibrating and moving. And I looked again across the room and I said, "Are you sure this is all I have to do?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "You know, I think I'm going to like this." And so after 25 years later, I can say I still really like it.
Great. Wonderful.
So that was my wonderful first experience.
That's great. Well, you know, in my early days of teaching, even in the same area, but it was around Olympia, Washington, I had a really dedicated Reiki class organizer and practitioner there. And a lot of people who came to the class were like, it would say, "Oh, you know, I've done, you know, healing before in my hands, and it's pretty natural." Some people had done it since they were kids. You know, they just felt this gift, and they did it. Some people did it because they were going to a church that really believed in hands-on healing, and they would come and say, "But, you know, it's so great to have the system where I'm not responsible. Mm-hmm. I can just do what the gift is." Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing thing to hear, but I didn't really understand it for years as the master. I mm-hmm. thought that they were a little bit goofy, but I realize now how profound that was for them. Mm-hmm. And just my laugh is about how profound, and also just how I think that from my point of view as a person who knew nothing, it was so simple that it couldn't be real. And I think that's the that's where this meets mm-hmm. somehow. And I think that it's an amazing practice.
Yes. You know, to be able, the ease of being able to surrender
uh-huh.
into simplicity and to be swaddled by it and to be embraced by it allowed me to just be filled mm-hmm. with awe that I finally didn't have to orchestrate. I could just experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it put me very quickly, of course, into the witness place.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there sitting with... I always describe people... pulling up their chair to the treatment table, and they pull this other chair up next to them, and their intent sits in the chair, and the intent is always judging the treatment and saying, "This isn't happening, this isn't the way I want it to happen, you know, what's going on here," and creates such great doubt. And I didn't have to pull up that chair. I didn't have to listen to my intent. I just had been swaddled in this energy, and there was such a simple form. I was just so enamored that the simplicity of this form allowed me to experience something so great, and that I had the rest of my life to explore it. And I used to say years ago that just about the time that my scientific mind or my mental body decided that, oh, well, I've seen everything I've experienced, there isn't anything, Reiki would kind of slap me up the side of the head, so to speak, and saying, let us show you how little you know. And I would be then placed in a brand new place of treatment, of exploration, of discovery, of witnessing, and I would have a new experiential level of discovery. And just about the time that I thought I knew everything, I would be then whipped into a new place, and I knew nothing, and I began the journey again. And that's basically 25 years of sitting at treatment tables day after day after day, thousands of treatments in my practice, in a full-time practice of Hawaii, Honolulu, till today, San Diego, Washington, El Paso, and Denver, where I see people on a regular basis. So I have sat at the witness place, in the discovery place, in the unknown place, in the mystery place, and witnessing wisdom all through each of those aspects of it.
Thank you, Jean, for just profound and beautiful experience and description of Reiki treatments from your perspective. I will sign off now. It's a little early, but we're going to come back and make up that minute or two with Jean's experiences of treatment. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We have with us today Jean Ferris. We've just been trying to edit all the things that she wanted to say, and so I'm going to get on with it. Jean, in all her many years of treatment experience, from treating yachts and horses and wounded horses and people in all different circumstances, including juvenile arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, and going to the Hansen's disease colony of Kalapapa in Hawaii, to, you just wouldn't believe the depth and breadth of her experience of Reiki treatments. She's also come to a very important place that I really feel is important for us to listen to today, and that is her own speaking about her own understanding of how all of our bodies, subtle bodies, that's my word, subtle bodies work together, and how wholeness comes even if part of our body isn't there. For instance, when people have had an amputation for some reason, that's a physical body, but we can still be whole. Is that true, Jean?
That is very true. And it is been in the journey of treatment and experience of Reiki and my sitting in that place of witness, of being able to just watch and to see the mystery of what Reiki is doing in any given treatment. I've never once been bored for a second. I find it totally fascinating. It's so easy to watch and to witness instead of doing, and always a welcome relief. But in my journey of many, many treatments of a whole variety of circumstances and conditions and disorders and diseases, Reiki started very quickly showing me how the energy fields get disrupted, get broken, get frayed, get tattered, and actually get separated, say, from the physical body. So we have a lot of different settings and situations. So we have a trauma, we sprain our ankle, we break our leg, and you ask a person energetically, where do you feel your leg is? And it isn't connected to the physical leg. They will very easily say, well, it's laying off to the side. My ankle is twisted and laying off to the side. You ask a woman that's had a mastectomy, where do you feel your breast is? And she will tell you in three different places. It's my breast is lying on my stomach, my breast is lying up over or by my shoulder, or my breast is lying between my arm and my body, because that is the way that it had been separated off. And energetically, the etheric breast is lying there, waiting to be reconnected. When it isn't ever connected, then there isn't ever total healing. The woman will always feel disconnected, will not have a sense of integrity of her physical body, and there are many consequences of that, of course, mentally and emotionally and supportive wise. So in amputations, of course, whether it's your fingertip or your leg, energetically, that energy field is still present, even though the physical appendage is missing, and there's a lot of trauma in that energy field. And that creates that trauma and the disruption in the energy field, of course, then disrupts and creates the scenario that we all hear about, phantom pain. And when Reiki comes in and you work in that missing field, that energy field where the missing part is, and allow energy to the Reiki energy to reconstruct and release the trauma at that cellular memory in the energy field, then the person then has the experience of their whole field being reconnected. You know, a person that has a total knee, you know, that disrupts the energy field. It's like Reiki comes in and starts working on the prosthetic knee, someone that has a prosthetic hip, all of the apparatuses that are added to the body as well as taken away create disruption and the inability for the person to feel integrated into a whole picture.
So is that true on all the other levels of our being, our emotional, mental, and spiritual? So we can have like a spiritual phantom pain, for instance.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like I've had that.
Yes, because when there is disruption in any of the bodies, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, energetically, from trauma, then there is a disruption of flow of energy. And that creates the blockage, and that creates the inability to feel balanced and whole and integrated. So in my journey then of working with these disrupted energy fields, then Reiki, of course, taking me to a new place always, revealed that not only are these energetic fields disrupted and frayed and broken, that there can be then the disappearance of the energy field of a whole body. So someone's mental body can totally leave and not be present. And that accounts then energetically for that person to always have the history of their mind being agitated. Where there isn't any place of stillness. It can't create a place of balance because the energy field isn't present. So emotionally, the energy field of the emotional body can be totally gone. And then that's when an individual is experiencing the merry-go-round of emotions. The person then only knows the extreme emotions as opposed to the beautiful full array of the spectrum of the emotional body and its integrity. And then, of course, if the physical body isn't energetically there, the physical body could never heal. That's when we experience the dullness. That's when the lethargy, or in the other extreme, the hyperactivity.
Right.
So you, and then of course, in the spiritual body, when it leaves, then an individual will has no sense of self. It has no sense of feeling loved or supported. So Reiki, in its wisdom, first of revealing these places to me, as I scratched my head and said, yes, I recognize this, now what can be done? It also brings its wisdom and says, well, let me show you what I know.
Right.
And then the package of guiding me through the mystery of how can we get these bodies back and integrated into the physical structure called home of the physical body, and how we can get them energetically back and get them to stay and to remain present, because we are in a sacred contract, and to be here in physical form and to be in the human form. And that sacred contract was with our subtle bodies and our soul to be here and to experience the fullness of the human form. So it is an energetic cop-out when bodies leave and leave an individual disconnected, separated from its integrity of wholeness. So I always am amazed at the paradigm of the structure of holistic medicine, where they always speak of body, mind, and spirit. And yet they don't even acknowledge the emotional body.
Uh-huh.
And the key to healing, of course, physically, mentally, spiritually and emotionally, is the honoring of the emotional body, to allow its uniqueness to be known and to be present and to be accounted for, and to allow it to express itself in the immense fluidity of all the emotions that lie within that energy field, as opposed to the reactive emotions of separation.
Uh-huh.
So, Reiki.
I just want to interrupt you to ask you, then do you feel like every one of us as human beings, because we can't avoid trauma, I mean, mm-hmm. it sometimes just happens to us, we're all in some degree in this sort of state of flux of trying to balance mm-hmm. our subtle bodies. Would you say subtle is a good word, or is that not a good word?
Yeah, they're collective. Subtle is a collective word for the spiritual, emotional, and mental bodies.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes, because we all have these experiences, it's like, gosh, I feel so energetically today. I just feel like I could just go out and do anything. And that feeling shows that my physical body is present. You know, it's like I wake up one day and it's like, I don't have the energy to go anywhere or do anything. Well, then your physical body isn't there.
Right.
And
So I'm going to interrupt you again, because this is the end of our time for this session. So I'm going to just say that this is Phyllis Frumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be right back with more of Jean Ferris in just a few minutes.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming!
Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Frumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me Jean Ferris, who has, over the last 25 years, a great depth and breadth of Reiki treatment. This is our theme during these interviews, and she's just sharing with us this gift that she has received, and personally, I think it's her gift of seeing when she treats, because I know that a lot of us treat other people and there's certain patterns that come up. I personally find myself connected to more emotional patterning, and I see that you've kind of got whole being patterning in your eyes. And I use the word eyes with a capital E. And it's really fascinating because I feel that a lot of times people want to know, well, how does Reiki work? You know, what is it doing when it looks like it's not doing anything? And I know that it's doing something. So I'm just wondering how you answer that question from your students. You must certainly get it. What's Reiki doing if it's not doing anything?
It's not doing anything.
As it were. A better way of putting it would be, what's Reiki doing when we can't see it, can't feel it, don't perceive it?
I always go back to reference everything from the wisdom of Reiki. And I think that the wisdom in treatment is always present. It is the orchestration from this wisdom that we get to experience. And I think as an individual doing their own treatment, or an individual giving a treatment, or an individual receiving a treatment, we know from experience that this wisdom gives us whatever it is that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is a spiritual path. That's why treatment is a spiritual practice. Because whenever we're connected to Source, then we are out of the loop of doership.
Uh-huh.
And the beauty about the wisdom is I could be totally unaware, not present, and yet this wisdom and this energy is going to this individual and it's giving them exactly what they need.
And that is...
And that is the gift. It's like, it's going to happen automatically because that is the Source. The Source is treating this individual. So whatever happens is in perfect balance from the Source. So I, as an individual, could miss it all.
Because I'm looking for something else.
I'm trying to, my intent tells me I want this and this to happen, and I just miss the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And so that's fine.
Uh-huh.
If I miss the whole thing, I might not get it.
Uh-huh.
But the person gets it. The
uh-huh.
person receives it.
Uh-huh.
So the joy, the experience is like in the beginning, well, I don't have to know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to hold this focus. I don't have to be present. It's going to happen. And so there is a point in time when an individual says, gosh, I would like to know more. And I do want to be present.
Uh-huh.
I do want to bring my awarenesses more to the treatment table as I'm doing this.
Uh-huh.
And the desire
mm-hmm.
connects to the Source.
Mm-hmm.
And then magically I'm starting to then become more aware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I'm the conduit, I'm the garden hose. just the garden hose. And in the initiation process, the gardener hooks the hose to the hydrant. And in the process of initiation, the gardener turns the hydrant on four times through initiation, and the flow is flowing. So my hose might be kinked. We have a lot of, we're all walking around with a lot of kinked hoses, but this daily treatment helps unkink the hose. And so then, because I'm getting unkinked, my awareness of what is happening becomes more and more aware. So I experience things that I didn't experience before. My kink toes didn't impede the flow of Reiki. It's going to flow through any kink toes. But it's in this place of all of a sudden, because I have given myself permission to become more aware, I'm gifted with the awareness, and I'm gifted with the experiences.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to link this back to your image of having disappearing parts of our beings, our different levels of being and so on, and this filling this up. So I have this kind of interesting connection, but it's a little bit vague for me. Can you help me? So when you were speaking about phantom pain, for instance, and then there's the garden hose image, and you know, I have all these images, and somehow I'd like to link them together. Is that possible?
Sure.
Maybe it's possible in a story.
We've all had experiences of looking at an individual's picture, photograph. And when that individual, say, has been traumatized or wounded, and we notice that they don't seem present. I don't see that they're totally there.
So it might be like sometimes they say, you know, after that accident, they were never the same.
Because energetically, one or more of their energy fields are usually still present at the place that they were traumatized. It never joined them. It never hooked back up. You know, into their physical form. And so the picture of a person that has been traumatized and wounded, depending on which body is missing, looks differently energetically. I remember a student once came to the Reiki class on the Big Island of Hawaii, and in the Reiki class I took her aside and I asked her privately, like, what happened to her at her birth, because there wasn't much of her present. She was very energetically etheric, absent, not grounded, not present, unable to focus, and had a very, very, very young voice, undeveloped voice, of like a child. And she looked at me and she said, how would you know that something happened at my birth? And I said, well, I really didn't, but Reiki has drawn my attention to it. And she said that when her mother was pregnant, full term, her father was driving her to the hospital to be delivered, and they were in a car wreck, and the mother and father were killed, and the ambulance driver came upon them immediately and did a cesarean section to save her.
Wow.
So this traumatic experience then left her unsupported, ungrounded, barely tethered to the physical form. And her whole life, as she described it, was just such a struggle.
Uh-huh.
That she had to work so hard to be grounded. She, you know, went into body work so hoping that she could experience this. But it was always such hard work. She didn't have a voice, she felt.
Right.
She emotionally wasn't present, and mentally she was just very agitated. So in the journey of her healing, one of the first things that eventually she did, after floating around from house to house all of her life and never having the physical house, she was able to get her physical house and to build a home. And that was the beginning with Reiki in her life of being able to support her in getting her bodies together and allowing them to stay present, and then being able to heal all these different parts that had always been gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, great story. No, as a kind of psychologist mm-hmm. person,
yes.
What I realize is that I always thought that if you just owned it, kind of a mental process or a decision process, then that would heal. But I see that there's much more to that decision than just deciding.
Yes.
Yeah. And with that question, we're going to be back after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, oh! There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And boy, are we talking about that today with Jean Ferris. One of the things that I love about Jean is her emphasis on gift. The gift of Reiki, the gift of observation, and the gift of healing, the gift of wisdom. There's a very long list. I hope that we all make our own list. also, what I really love about her is her observation of treatment rather than expectation. And I realized for myself that even though I hear my grandmother's words saying, have no expectation, I realized that somewhere I do. And that it gets really in the way of just observing what's happening on all these different levels. And then the other point is acceptance of the relationship of all levels of being. And I think that in my own dance with balancing my own form and essence, my own place, that these little places where part of my emotional body or part of my mental body or part of my physical body isn't quite present, or my spiritual body too, that I just see this as an incredible 4 or 5 dimensional puzzle that I'm trying to put together. And it's a great challenge, but as you would say, possibly, Jean, it's also a great gift. And I just wanted to say that because it just strikes me, since we've been talking, that these three things are very important for a person who has Reiki and who's trying to see if, should we put it down to this terrible question, does Reiki work? So, Jean has put together some of her learnings and observations in a little workshop that I've been trying to get her to open up to other people. So this is my little foot in the door. It's called Healing Bodies. Is that what the name of it is?
Healing Bodies Workshop 1 and 2.
Healing Bodies Workshop 1 and 2. And the thing of it is I've heard such rave reviews from her students that I'm dying to get into this workshop myself. So this is totally self-serving. Jean, can you talk a little bit about this?
About whether I'm going to open this up or...
well, maybe that
too. Well, in the journey of observing and witnessing and discovery of some of this wisdom that Reiki has revealed to me in treatment of myself, mm-hmm. of others, and I begin then like orchestrating what does this look like then in the form of what do we do next?
Yeah,
and so
great question.
Then in the journey of Reiki orchestrating, because I've learned a long time ago the more that I stay out of it, the form reveals itself, mm-hmm. and the essence is going to do the work in the form that it's trying to allow me to experience uh-huh. and see. And so I started years ago offering just in review. As I travel around, I do reviews for all of my students, first degree students and second degree students. But in the journey of second degree reviews, I started putting some of this out to my students in sharing with them a process. In the very early days of just working with some of these bodies and mm-hmm. being aware and being present, and then over the years, then their journey of wanting more,
right?
like, well, now that you shared this, like we would like to have a whole weekend of learning to do this and to exploring it in a deeper place. So it's, I just so enjoy the journey of essence and in treatment and experiencing it. I have long let my scientific mind want to orchestrate any of it. So the journey of experiencing essence is so delightful and so beautiful in treatment that it's like, oh, do we have to put it into a form?
Uh-huh. Well, there's a danger in that for sure.
And, you know, and then I don't want to create the form. Uh-huh. I want to wait until the mystery reveals itself, so it is orchestrating the form.
Right.
So I have incredible patience. One of the gifts that Reiki has given me is I have incredible patience. And I'm sometimes amazed at it myself, because I can just watch forever and wait forever for things to be revealed. And so I did. I waited and waited until some form was revealed, and I called it Journeys into Healing, and the workshop that was created was Healing Your Body's One. And that I orchestrated in 2002 and began teaching it. I'm sorry, that's not true, 2001. And I've been teaching it from that point in time throughout the areas that I do teach in. And it's a journey for second degree students, involves the use of all the symbols, and an answer to people's desire to heal themselves at such deep levels, and students that want to experience that.
Right.
They want to embrace their healing on all aspects, and so this is what I offer my students and over the years. And you know, there are times when we have a sense of some of our bodies really being there and supporting us.
Uh-huh.
And then there are times when they're just not there, and we just can't get in touch with healing. So one of the interesting pivotal places in our wounding is that one of our bodies will always come to save us.
Yes.
One of them will always save us. And then from that point on, if none of the other bodies are present, that body is always going to be there orchestrating and dictating our life and programming our life being there as a great support system. It becomes the guard at the gate. And because it becomes the guard at the gate, even though it has come to save us, it becomes the body that keeps us wounded.
Right.
And in that becomes the journey. The incredible frustration. I just wish I could have all of me together, all present and accounted for, and all totally supporting, and being able to experience the fullness of each of our bodies in that integration. Mm-hmm. Not only as an individual integrated body, but then the integration of all the bodies working together.
Right.
In a unison that leads us into a whole nother way of living and being. And the comfort and the fullness that it brings us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know.
So, with that, this is the end of our show today, which is extremely sad because there's lots more to say. Jean teaches and has a treatment practice in Hawaii, San Diego, Denver, El Paso, Washington State, up by Seattle, mostly.
Tacoma and Gig Harbor.
So if you want to get a hold of her, her email address is on the e-card, and you're welcome to connect with her, have some treatments, and have a conversation. She's fascinating. Thank you very much, Jean, for being on the program.
Thank you for the opportunity to share and to embrace the international global community of opportunities for each of us to share the gift of Reiki and the wonderful experiences that we all hold deep inside of us and that we carry every day with us.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't say it better. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.